1 John 2, verses 18 through 27, these are God's words. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The apostle has just said, he who does the will of God abides forever. But there's something that has happened in their churches among those to whom he is writing. There are people who have left the churches. People who, quote, went out from us. And the apostle, John, identifies himself with the church. And he's not there. He's exiled on Patmos. And likely he's writing especially to the church in Ephesus, where he had been a minister, and perhaps to other churches as well, but he's identifying himself with them. Those who left their churches have not just left the churches, they've left the apostle, and they haven't just left the churches and the apostle. But you remember what he said in chapter 1, that truly our fellowship, so which what we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so he's telling them here, he's talking to them here about those who have left the churches. They don't have fellowship with the churches or now with the apostle. Your fellowship is with us. Or now, he is saying, they don't have fellowship with the Father or with the Son. Indeed, they never had it. Those who don't abide in the church, those who don't abide forever in fellowship, not only with the church, but with the God of the church, those who go out because they were not truly of the church. You see this at the beginning and end of verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, beginning of verse 19. And then he says, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. So one way you can tell someone who is genuinely converted is that they value the church, and they value their membership in the church. And they don't think that they can just be independent Lone Ranger Christians. This is not what Spirit-taught people who trust in the Lord Jesus think and believe and feel and act upon. And he concludes that verse, they went out that it might be manifest that none of them were of us. And so there is this visible and invisible church distinction that is a Bible teaching, just as in Romans 9, not all who are descended from Israel were Israel, that there are those who have covenant sign and covenant membership, but are not actually of spiritual life and faith and belonging to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was always a remnant within Israel. So also now we see here, it continues in the church, there is a remnant within the church. There are those who are in the church, but who are not of the church. And so Romans 9, and then here, 1 John 2, and we see something similar in 1 Corinthians 11. that there were factions in that church, so that it might be revealed who were reprobate, who were not approved. But these to whom he writes, he calls little children. And this is his favorite name for his dear ones to whom he writes. They're not just his little children, they're God's little children in the Lord Jesus. But it has a little bit more local significance, or a little bit more significance in the local context here in verse 18, because he's just said in verse 12 and then in verse 13, little children are those who whose sins are forgiven for the sake of the name of Christ, verse 12. Little children are those who know the Father, verse 13. So he comes and he says, little children, you little ones who know that Jesus is God the Son, you little ones who know that you have eternal life by abiding in Jesus, and that if you have Jesus, you have the Father by way of Jesus and in Jesus. These are the little children of God, the ones who have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, who convinces us that Jesus is God and we trust in him, and who convinces us that in Jesus we have God as Father, and he makes us to cry out to God and say, Abba, Father. And so there is this great triune work of God in salvation that is implied by the dear little phrase, little children. And you may read that and identify with that and say, yes, I am God's little child. His Spirit is the one who is the Spirit of adoption, who has taught me to know Jesus as elder brother, to know God as my Father. Little children are those who hold to the doctrine of the Trinity and who see how the triune God has revealed himself and declared himself and glorified himself by saving us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, those who go out of the church or set themselves up as independent, they are autonomous in not wanting to be part of the church corporate, and they're autonomous in their doctrine, their theology. They come up with any idea to talk about Jesus except the Trinity and except the divinity of Christ. These are antichrists, little a. There is that great antichrist, the man of sin, who sets up in the temple of God and makes himself and his doctrine that through which all must go to heaven. He whom we confess has been consummated now in the Pope of Rome. But that man of sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We shrink and shiver at the greatness of the wickedness of the Antichrist, who sets himself up as if he were God. But then we should be sobered and warned that if we want to be autonomous and out from the fellowship of the church and out from under the authority of the elders of a faithful church, if we want to have our own doctrine and not believe from the scriptures what faithful churches have believed and faithful ministers have taught for 2,000 years, in which the Holy Spirit affirms and confirms in the hearts of true believers. If we want to be independently minded, people seem to be proud of being independently minded and autonomous. But here is a great strike of God against that pride. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And so we are warned here. People setting themselves up as independent and coming out of the church and so forth. This is something that marks it as the last hour. The church has now been established. The foundation of the apostles, prophets, and evangelists have been laid. Jesus has ascended into heaven and given his gifts among men, not just apostles, prophets, and evangelists, but pastor teachers who are teaching the true doctrine. And yet, now that the last hour has come and the church has been established, there are those antichrists that mark the last hour. Like 2 Thessalonians 2 teaches us, like the Lord Jesus warned in connection to the fall of Jerusalem, ushering in this last hour. in which he says, during this last hour, during this time, don't be deceived when people say that the Lord Jesus is returning, because his return will be obvious when it comes, but the last hour is going to be a long time. Well, if it was the last hour when John wrote this letter, then certainly it still is the last hour now, and we shouldn't be easily shaken, even if there's an eclipse, and you guys aren't exposed to a lot of false teaching, but so you can imagine, as has happened in great celestial events in the past, there are all kinds of charlatans who declared that this was foretold and this was the end. And if that was true of an eclipse in America, just wait until there's a path of totality in Egypt in 2027. And the false teachers will come crawling out of the woodwork. But don't be easily shaken. It's been the last hour for 2,000 years. It's a warning not to freak out and think that the end has now come. But it's a warning and encouragement to keep abiding in Christ by having his truth abide in us. And that's why he's writing. He says he's not writing to those who don't know the truth. He's writing because they know the truth. And he's writing the things that correspond to the truth. He's writing to those who have an anointing from the Holy One. The Lord Jesus has given the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit by which 1 Peter 1 says he has caused the words of Scripture to be written, the same Spirit whom he promised to the apostles during the apostolic age in John 16, especially in John 16, verse 13, that he would lead them into all the truth, the same Spirit who removes the veil from the hearts of those who are members, not just of the visible church, but who are elect, who are of the invisible church. And so the Holy Spirit, of course, agrees with himself. What the apostle writes and what was written in the scriptures that preceded him and what the Holy Spirit confirms in the hearts of those whom he's bringing to faith in Jesus Christ, what faithful churches have believed and faithful ministers have taught now for 2,000 years. It's all the same. It's all of a piece. Praise God. And he is writing so that we will continue, that what we heard from the beginning would abide in us. And the truth that teaches us about God the Son become man for us, that by abiding in him we abide also in the Father. This is the truth that teaches us to keep trusting in Jesus, keep abiding in Jesus. And he has promised us then, verse 25, eternal life by this. So watch out for false teachers. Verse 26 reminds us that although they're quite happy to go out of the church, they don't seem quite as pleased to leave those who are in the church alone. And they attempt to deceive. These things I have written to you, he says, concerning those who try to deceive you. But do not fear, just be warned about them. Remember that the Holy Spirit, verse 27, the anointing which you have received from him, that is from Christ, abides in you. And as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And so God the Holy Spirit will preserve you, and you can have your confidence in the triune God, in the Father who has given the Son for you and sent the Spirit, and the Son who has come for you and has poured out the Spirit, and the Spirit who teaches you the truth and who gave you the Bible and who confirms the Bible to your heart. The triune God will see to it that you abide, in Christ. And praise God, his promise is true. We will have eternal life. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would come near to each one of us, that each one would know in their own mind and their own heart that ministry of your Holy Spirit who confirms to them the truth about you, our triune God, the truth about your Son, our Lord Jesus, who became a man to be God and man in one, that we might abide in him, have righteousness in him, have life in him, and have eternal life. And so we pray for the ongoing work of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.